you did make it here on time. First of all, I want to send greetings from Pastor Winnie. I was in the cities this last week, and I went to visit him. And oh, what a thrill to see that man. He's still doing God's work, and it's just such a testimony to me is that even though we grow older and our circumstances change, we can still be doing God's work. We reminisced about, you know, the times that he was here, and he talked about Bethesda and all the volunteers and how all the lay people, he just, you know, he'd never seen such a church that was so active, and you know, he was so thankful for that and the time that he and Marjorie had been here. And you know, he had to move to the assisted living, and so those circumstances have changed, but he's singing in a choir, and he said he's singing more than he probably ever has sang in his life, and he goes and visits people in the nursing home. And so he still just has this wonderful mission, still has his jokes, and well, he's 90. In 90-something, 95, yeah. And he just, you know, is the little chatty cat that he always was. So anyway, he wanted me to greet all of you. I told him that I have a chance to do that. And so, our first song is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And this is just a simple statement of what it means to be a Christian. We're going to be projecting the words, hopefully. So bear with me if I mess things up.
I told Raleigh I switched the clicker for the guitar. She won't do
it. I don't do solos, so this is my punishment. I have to be the clicker now.
Turning back. How do you like this weather? Next week we're going to open the veggie stand. This is strange. I don't ever remember a time like this. Warren said it's only going to get hotter. I says, not where I'm going. See ya, Warren. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment and introduce yourselves, okay? The weather's been really miserable down in Florida and Texas, so I'm glad I'm here. Yeah, that'll teach them. A couple of things. These folks want us to hold hands during the Lord's Prayer. So just slide across the aisle and hold hands during the Lord's Prayer. Is that all okay?
No.
All right. Now I didn't forget. They do that in some churches, and people like that, so we'll try it today. Second thing is, we've got to take orders for Easter lilies, so if you'd like to honor someone with Easter lilies, there will be a sign-up sheet for that. 18th, next week, Hass's are set to do morning coffee, but I don't know. I haven't seen Hass's around. I have a feeling they headed south, too. So.
They'll be back on Wednesday.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about it. All right. You heard it there first, folks. Oh, yeah. There were only four tins of coffee. I'm going to give you one more week. Remember when we changed the time schedule? If you can remember a tin of coffee, I think that'd help. We've got enough to last a while, but we're okay. Is the maple syrup running yet or not? Really? It's still way too early, Wally. Yeah. It's nice to... Yes. So they need help. Okay. We have Breezewitz. Do I have... Thank you. What a wonderful day. Let's thank the Lord and begin our service with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God. You have loved us and cared for us. You've sacrificed for us, forgiven us. You've accepted us unconditionally, even as unlovely as we are some days. And so today we gather as fellow sojourners here on earth to thank you and to listen to your wisdom that has come down through the eons of time. Send your spirit this morning to our hearts and to our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Joan says, sing with us.
I didn't go there and I see like three mouths moving. Words are there, use them, please.
Okay, our next song is In Christ Alone. We thought this would be a good song for Lent. During Lent, we reflect on what God has done for us when he sent his son. This song kind of follows the story of Jesus from his birth to his resurrection. And it emphasizes that he is the cornerstone of our lives, that he'll always be our strength, he'll be our protector, and that our lives are held in his unshakable hands.
Solid ground.
rise. Please turn to your bulletins. Blessed is the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in the confession. God, we admit to you and to those around us
how difficult it is to believe in you. We blame others when we have done
wrong. We blame society for the ills of our community. We look for help and take comfort in things that mask the hurt and deaden the mind. There are so many things that try to lure us away from the one truth. You are God and God alone. Jesus, forgive our sins and encourage us to be more like you. Let us take a moment for silent confession. Jesus is the Son of God and hears the prayers of his people. Because Jesus died on a cruel cross and rose again in power and glory, we are forgiven for the sins of our past, present, and future. As far as the east is from the west, so I will separate you from your sin, says our God. In our newfound freedom, we are given power to believe in God's promises and to live our lives in service to God and to each other. Praise God for the freedom of forgiveness.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let's join together in praying the prayer of the day. Holy God, through your Son you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the praise team to sing their praises.
Okay, this one you can listen to. We are going to put the words up just so you can see the words too. It's I am the resurrection and the life. It's a message that Christ came to bring us life, and the only thing we have to do to receive that life is believe. So it's a simple message. If we believe, then we will live.
I have come to bring you love. lesson for today is from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. After escaping from slavery, the Israelites came to Mount Sinai, where God teaches them how to live in community. The Ten Commandments proclaim that God alone is worthy of worship. Flowing from God, life of community flourishes when based on honesty, trust, fidelity, and respect for life, family, and property. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock or alien residents in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Here ends the reading. The psalm for today is Psalm 19. Please respond in the bold print, and where there is a bold R, repeat the refrain, "The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells the scales to another, and one hand imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their song is not known to all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, their God is gracious to them for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs above to the end of the beginning. Nothing is hidden from its birthing heat. The commandment of the Lord is light to the eyes.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice in heart.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Let us see from my secret thoughts.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.
My strength and my Redeemer. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes.
Here ends the readings. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Lent is found in the second chapter of St. John, beginning with the 13th verse. When Jesus attacks the commercialism of religion by driving merchants out of the temple, When challenged, he responds mysteriously with the first prediction of his own death and resurrection. In the midst of a seemingly stable religious center, Jesus suggests that the center itself has changed. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remember that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometime back, a Colorado man in his late 20s brought a malparenting suit against his mother and father for $300,000. $300,000 he sued them for, and the record said, for lousing up his life. He claimed that they had intentionally done a terrible job of parenting and had made him what he was. The judge dismissed the suit by saying that there must be a statute of limitations on parenting. Thank goodness for that. The judge went on to say that there must come a time when an adult takes responsibility for his own actions, for his or her own life. If we don't, he said, then next will come suits against brothers and sisters and teachers and even friends. It's like that old Peanuts cartoon. Peppermint Patty telephones Charlie Brown, says, "Guess what, Chuck? The first day of school, and I got sent to the principal's office. It's all your fault, Chuck." And Chuck says, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you always say everything is my fault?" And Peppermint Patty says, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." Yeah, that's the spirit of the times, isn't it? It's like the headline that appeared in a small town paper. State population to double by 2040. Babies to blame. Yeah. I believe we can blame it on the babies. Yeah. Interesting book came out years ago by the author was Count Saint-Exupéry. The book was called Wind, Sand, and Stars. There's an incident that caught my attention. The author and his comrade, whose name was Giomet, flew mail over the Andes down in Chile. One morning, Giomet took off solo in the face of a fierce snowstorm. A combination of ice on his wings and snow and wind forced him. He couldn't get up over the mountains, forced him down on a frozen lake. And when he was down, Giomet dug a hole underneath the cockpit, put mail bags all around him, and he lay there for 2 days and two nights. Finally, he dug his way out. Took him 5 days and four nights to find his way back to civilization, crawling on his hands and knees in some places in temperatures that were 20 below zero. How did he ever make it out? How did he overcome the desire to lie down and rest, which would have caused his certain death? Well, he thought about his wife and his sons growing up without them. He thought about his responsibility to get the mail through. Wasn't it a week ago Sunday we couldn't get the mail through? Sorry. You don't work for them anymore. And evidently, neither do they. How did he ever get out? Well, he thought about his responsibility, and he survived, although his hands and feet were so frozen that they had to amputate them.
When San Expiry described his friend's experience and his superhuman struggle to survive, he summed it up in one sentence, and this is the point of this whole meditation. To be a human being is precisely to be responsible. That's crucial. That's a crucial theological statement. A statement so critical to our understanding of life that it often goes unspoken and unexamined. To be a human being is to be responsible. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, they were given the responsibility for tending the garden, and they were to obey one God's only commandment for them. This is what Genesis says: of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you shall eat of it you shall die. Unfortunately, they failed the test of responsibility. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel in a jealous rage. When confronted with the crime, Cain calls out, "Am I my brother's keeper?" In other words, he's asking if he was responsible for his brother. Well, you know the answer to that. A lawyer once asked Jesus a question very similar to that one. Jesus gives the great command to love God before all others and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer asks, "Who's my neighbor?" In other words, how far does my responsibility go? Am I responsible for my family? Am I responsible for my immediate neighbor? Am I responsible for the people in my township or city where I live? Am I responsible for the people in Somalia? Where's my responsibility here? Jesus' disciples struggled with this same question in the Gospels that we read every Sunday. They ask, is the gospel message for the Jews, or is it for the Gentiles as well? Am I responsible for the people who respond positively toward me, or am I responsible for even my enemies? Our Old Testament text today contains the Ten Commandments, a set of moral injunctions that God gave these 800,000 men, not including women and children, who were just freed from slavery. He gives them these Ten Commandments. If you want to get along as a people, these are what you must do to get along. And with that, he gives them those commandments. Thou shalt not kill. These are responsibilities that they must fulfill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Honor your father and mother. What are my responsibilities to my neighbor? Well, the Ten Commandments seek to answer those questions. To be a human being is to be responsible. What are my responsibilities to God? Honor God before all else. And so in our society today, we say to our kids, our young people, be responsible. We say the same thing to married couples, be responsible. To new drivers on the road, be responsible. To voters, act responsibly. Every facet of our life together depends on people acting responsibly. That's such a simple, obvious truth, and yet we so often fail to confront it. We don't want to talk about it. To be a human being is to be responsible. So I've been thinking about this business. Huh? It can be a problem. Are there any of us who want us to have someone tell us to be responsible, to act responsibly? Teenagers that are here, do you want your parents to tell you to act responsibly? Your spouses. That's the last thing I need is for my wife to say, act responsibly. Don't go there. Do any of us want us to be told to act responsibly, even from your pastor? Responsibility is a heavy burden when you think about it. So I've been thinking about it. Why don't I like hearing those words? Why don't you like to ask those words? Be asked those words? I think it's because we really long for times where we can just escape. We don't want to carry the burden. Many of us just want to flee from all these responsibilities. Just look at the numbers. How many alcoholics and drug addicts are chemically snared by seeking escape? How many extramarital affairs are there and other destructive activities that are simply the product of people running away from their responsibilities? Many of us resent responsibility. We act a lot like the one of my favorite fictional characters, Jose Jimenez. Remember Jose Jimenez? Me name, Jose Jimenez. Back in the early 60s, he was on the Steve Allen show, and played by Dana Carvey, and he did this, me name, Jose Jimenez, until he got so much heat from the Hispanic population, he had to drop it. But I remember one comedy sketch. He was standing there in front of the TV, you know, the fake background and all the rest, but all these newspaper reporters, he was an astronaut, so he had this astronaut suit, and he took this hat off and held it under his arm, and a reporter started asking him questions. And so one reporter asks him, tell me, do you have any grave doubts about your success? And Jose says, please don't use that word grave. And another newsman says, how do you think you'll feel when you leave Earth and pass on into space? Please don't use that word, pass on. Another one says, do you have any fear about this undertaking? Please don't use the word undertaking. He wasn't really excited about his job as an astronaut. I suppose if we had a job like that, we might be a little bit reluctant too. But who among us would not rather escape rather than live up to our responsibilities? And yet, to be emotionally mature is to be responsible, bottom line. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be responsible. Ultimately, responsibility is just as the word suggests. It's our response to God's love as he manifested it in Jesus Christ. God loves us so much. He's forgiven us. He's blessed us. He promises us he'll take care of us. He says, the whole kingdom I have is yours. If we resent responsibility, it may be that we don't understand what responsibility is. The root word is response. What is our response to God? He loves us. He's given us the kingdom. Do we respond out of love to him by caring for our neighbor, by setting a good example, by taking the high road when we could go down in the mud pile with the rest of the folks? I mean, 1 John chapter 4 says it all. We love because he first loved us. We take responsibility for ourselves and others because he took responsibility for us on the cross of Calvary. Responsibility isn't a terrible thing. It's a gift we can return to God. It's the road we travel on the way to the abundant life that Christ has promised us. A pastor friend of mine, John Peschick, uses this analogy. A dear friend of his is a recovering alcoholic. One day his friend said to him, If I heard once, I heard a million times that I needed to change my behavior. As if I didn't know that. He decided to change his life almost every night he lived during his drinking life. He'd finish his bottle with the absolute promise that tomorrow would be different. It would be a new day, but it never was. But his friend, Peschick says, did change. He was able to overcome his addiction and take responsibility for his life. How did he do it? He did it by responding to God's love that was poured out in Jesus Christ. He quit fighting his addiction and through his own strength, and he made a fresh commitment to give God the controls of his life. And this is what he said, according to my friend John. He says, it might be weird, but it's like he handed over the remote control to God. Let me ask all you men in our congregation, you know that remote? You women, you want to ever get your husbands mad? Hide the remote. No, I'm sorry I told your secret. We hate giving the remote to anybody, to your spouse. I'm just talking to the men now. To your kids, we like control. But take the next step. What about the remote that controls your life? Can you hand that remote to God? God created us to be responsible. To be responsible parents, to be responsible members of our nation, to be responsible community members, to be responsible members of the church. We can do that without Christ. But many of us will feel like we're living in a straitjacket. We hate to be told what to do and to be responsible. There'd be no joy in that kind of life. It would be done out of a sense of duty. But if we make a fresh commitment to God, turn the remote of our lives over to Him. Say, God, You've blessed me so much. You've taken care of me. You love me. You've really, you know, we don't deserve it. And I want to live in response to You. That way we'll be living out of grace, not simply doing good works because it's the responsible thing to do, but responding out of grace, enjoying the abundant life that God has promised to us. To be a human being is to be responsible, yet to know Christ is just to walk in His joy, and it'll all come. Something for us to ponder on our journey here between the eternities. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. I'll invite the praise team to come forward to sing "I'll Rise." At the same time, we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Sorrow, no more pain. I will rise.
The congregation please rise and turn to the offertory prayer. Let us pray together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we bring before you these offerings of our treasure. Bless these gifts and use them in the work of your realm on earth. Give strength to hands that labor, vision to minds that create, and hope to lives who serve. In Jesus' name, amen. We cry to you for help, O God, praying for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the body of Christ, that we might trust in the foolishness of God. For houses of worship everywhere, that we might not make your sanctuaries into marketplaces. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. For wisdom to carefully steward all your creation. For cattle, sheep, doves, donkeys, and animals of every kind. For veterinarians and zookeepers. For biologists and ranchers. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the nations of the world and their leaders. For legislatures and judges. For merchants and money changers. For police and military personnel. For the civilians of war-torn countries. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all those captive to addictions. For victims of crime. For survivors of sexual or domestic abuse, for those sick with malaria, HIV, AIDS, or cancer, for those with Alzheimer's and their caregivers, for all in any need, especially remember Linda and Dean Newman, Artie Kendall, Mel Hammond, and those others we name in our hearts before you who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy, for this faith community, whenever we make idols, misuse your name, break the Sabbath, dishonor our parents, murder, commit adultery, bear false witness, and covet what is not our own, Lord, in your mercy. On this March day, Lord, we remember what happened a year ago in Japan, the terrible tsunami. A nuclear reactor blowing. Send your spirit to comfort those who are still displaced and help that country to grow and to nurture one another in difficult times. We ask your blessing to be with our snowbirds and those in our lives who have traveled away. Keep them safe and your loving care. And we pray, O Lord, during this season of Lent that each one of us here this morning might grow close to you. And that we might respond with joy and love and life for all you have done for us. We lift up the names of loved ones who have died in the faith, trusting that in the crucified and risen Christ we are bound to them in death as in life. Lord, in your mercy. Now is the acceptable time to offer our prayers to you, God of grace and truth. Receive them in your mercy. And grant us all that we need in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's join hands together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray the prayer our Lord has to pray. You can go across the aisles there. Let's see what happens. Let's join. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. the God of steadfastness and encouragement, the God of hope, and the God of all grace, bless us now and forever. Amen. We'll close with the benediction.
Just keep this song in your hearts all through Lent.